out of Parliament is only limited to flowers. I can be very frank and open that regardless of any culture or tradition you may be coming from, maybe more for your African families, flowers alone are not enough. You need to have here human beings you are working with to be with you, encouraging each other, of course, to be supportive of anyone who shall have had such a bereavement. Now that's the situation you are in. This is now somebody who loses a life partner, a husband in this case, for Parliament only to say at best what it can do is to send flowers. This is something that we really have to take it up further with the senior administrators. It's wrong. I just hope and trust that I speak on behalf of all of us. It's wrong. It has to be corrected. A certain number of us have to be present. We may not all be there. And of course, also the other thing that we met and agreed upon, that we should throw it to a meeting of this nature, and perhaps at the risk of boring some of us who are not members of the committee, for that reason that we may only have to deal with this matter outside of a meeting of this nature as to how we propose to take the whole processes forward. So at the risk of boring, we might just wish to do that session on our own as to how we take the process forward in terms of actual and concrete proposals going forward. So I have thought let's start off there, having had such a bereavement as a result of that, that Mrs. Kekana is not part of our meeting today. She is still in the situation she is in. Myself and Mr. Chauke did make it through to the funeral, Mr. Mguni as well. And then also she belonged to a committee as well on environment. So some of those members were also present, and of course also some of her own comrades from her constituency were also present at the funeral. So that's what we went through. I have thought perhaps let me, on behalf of all of those that were part of the funeral, report accordingly. She is a member of this committee. Her husband has died. Any comments we find, Mr. Chauke?
Well, thank you very much, Chair, for your the opening of this meeting with those sad news of yours. And I think I've made a proposal, Chair, which I want to agree with, that after this meeting we just have to do some in-house exercise, which will then cover the point that you have just raised, and the other, in-house related matters. It's not the fact that it's boring what you have raised. What you have raised is that it's very important, not only to committee members and the department. We sort of get so glued together that, sometimes we, more like a family at the end of the day, all of us, both the officials from the department, the executive. When you came in, before we sit that down, Chair, Ms. Perma was saying to her that, because, both of you are from Bondoland, and you talk more often than some of us who comes from the other part of the world. But jokingly, but the fact is that, I regard her as my sister. She's been with us. This is what I'm just putting as a family. So therefore, Chair, we'll do that exercise as you have proposed there. And I'm informed, Chair, that today is the one of the members of the committee. It's a birthday today. Mom Kate Bilangulu celebrating a birthday today on Valentine's Day. I've offered a plate of fruits and cheese. That's all what I can afford because there are no flowers in Cape Town because of the rain situation and the water problem. So there are no flowers. I only could afford the plate of fruits, Chair. And I think I'll hand it over back to you, Chair, to proceed.
Happy birthday to you. Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
You know.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. Any further comments, if any? Okay, going once, twice.
You're saying for me, it's kind of no, I'm like, you know, Valentine is so special.
There's a mic in front of you.
There's a mic on record.
Afternoon, Chairperson. I said I wasn't thinking that you are expecting the response from me, but let me say it's like I'm drunk because of the Valentine and the birthday, you know, and the manner in which this committee we used to be together. Ever since I was part of this committee, I've seen some, you know, good hearts welcoming that sister and brotherhood. And so, Mom Pam, hoping that next week you bring the cake to share with the committee. And thank you very much. God bless you all. Always the birthday to me. Thank you. I love you.
Love you.
Okay. Yes, you're very ready, Mr. Paswa, to throw your love.
Yeah, we all love
you. Okay, no, that's fine. The message is very clear, Deputy Minister, that, of course, Madia will coordinate all of that, you know, for the cake. Thanks for that. Members, we have only one item on the agenda. And this agenda item talks to outstanding items from the department. We only have one apology from the minister who has been booked off due to ill health. We don't have any other item. Just for the record, Mr. Makondo is no longer part of our committee. Just for the record, he is now a whip in the Committee on Arts and Culture. So which robs us one member who cannot be part of this, as the whips are expected to be full-time their respective committees. Okay. There is no other apology, Madia. we had distributed these budget review recommendation report. Recommendations, as it were. We're doing that for purpose of following up on those recommendations for their implementation. We are only tabling them today with the hope that in next week we shall then be dealing with those recommendations on the budget review recommendation report. Sorry, there was a copy that was distributed earlier, which is different to this one that is on ATC. This one, which is on ATC, is the one that we are working on, and not the other one that Madia you distributed. If you were to compare the two, you will see a stark difference. But without having to get into that, and also without having to confuse each other, we are simply and purely working on this one report. It was on HEC, it was adopted by the National Assembly. I must also mention that the Speaker has since written to the Minister on the same recommendations, basically seeking for the indulgence of the Minister to respond on those recommendations. Those recommendations are expected to be responded to nowhere else except this committee, in this committee. Now, that's the procedure that we are following, which which will then form part of a report that we submit to the Speaker via, of course, the National Assembly. So that's the procedure that we are following. And then, of course, also you have an Appropriations Committee and also National Treasury that are also to be in the loop in this entire process. Once again, the purpose of this budget review recommendation report, it is to factor in any adjustments expected for any budget of the department, taking into account all the recommendations and all the issues raised in those reports, so that going forward, as this is a constitutional matter that constitution empowers or enjoins parliament through its members in a specific committee to make adjustments to any budget that gets passed by parliament. This is what we are doing. This is a process that we are following. Therefore, having to impact on the actual adjustments and ultimately on the actual budget process itself. So it's not just one of those exercises that we go through. Of course, there are limitations with regards to this whole process because of, you know, the back-to-back scenario that you are confronted with. The time is very limited in that entire budget cycle. For you to be able to say, okay, it's fine, yes, indeed, these adjustments indeed are capturing that review of that budget by members of parliament in the form of a committee. That's generally the process that we find ourselves in, given all what is expected of us insofar as this money bill is concerned. I just thought, let me start off with that so that also it is given a necessary context. The second issue, if there is no issue matter raised to be raised on this matter, on this issue, are we fine with that brief explanation, Mr. Chong?
No, Chair, no, maybe, but these recommendations will come before the committee tomorrow, I mean next week. What's important, obvious, would be that the department should begin to respond to these recommendations that they have made. And that will then form our action plan, Chair, meaning that as we interact with the department, it must be an ongoing a way in which they're able to report to us on the implementation of these recommendations of Parliament now. They're no longer only the recommendations of the committee was adopted by Parliament. Now, always we find ourselves not being updated with regard to the issues at the Public Accounts Committee. I want to propose that we bring in the recommendations that are made by the Public Accounts Committee, so they form part of all the issues relating to recommendations and resolutions. We get invited to Public Accounts Committee, and when we get there, we don't know what are the issues. You know, always we're dealing with new issues all the time. So what is important is that let's get what the department has been recommended to by Public Accounts Committee. Maybe before they even go there, Chair, we have a session with the department just to look at how they've responded to the issues that are raised, for us to be able to be effective and to contribute during the SCOPA hearing, because we get invited there and we only come across issues when we are there. So let those issues be tabled before us, Chair, or whatever response that day the department will be giving to Public Accounts Committee, that response must be submitted to our committee, so that we can then prepare ourselves in line with the issues that have been dealt with. Thank you.
Are we fine with that? No further comments, members? Okay, thank you. The matter is very clear, straightforward. Maria, the recommendations from SCOPA. If we can bring those as we deal with the matters in our next meet. I'm told there is a SCOPA session next week, am I right? On fruitless expenditure. Fruitless and waste. 27th. Oh, okay. But if we can bring those recommendations in our next meeting. And of course also if we can get assistance from the department as it responds to any of those SCOPA recommendations. We are kept in the loop. The challenge we have all the time, I must say, Deputy Minister, all the time underline, is that whenever such questions, for that matter, from either NCOP or anywhere else, if they do not come to us on request, we find ourselves at a loss. How we would wish we could be in the loop of some of those. I think it will assist all of us as we move forward that we are able to do one thing so that one does not do something else and the other one does something else. Understandably so that you find yourself in a situation where you have to respond to any specific, you know, entity or committee or even House of Parliament, so that we find ourselves disadvantaged at the end. It helps all of us, yourselves included, that we are in the loop so that we don't have to go and come at the same time. Okay, in the absence of any further issues, comments or otherwise on the matter, the other issue, Deputy Minister, that we were confronted with that has been brought to our attention is a correspondence from the AG's office which talked to some of the statements as per AG's office which are of concern. And from where we are seated, we would really wish things to be done differently. Where, without getting into the details, and we did talk about this at some point, about a need for respect of an independent Chapter 9 institution. One of those institutions that have everything to do with protecting our democracy. Now, when we are going to be out there in the open, putting the reputation of a Chapter 9 institution plus the AG's office, that really calls for serious concerns. Something from where we are seated as members of parliament, we would really wish it be done otherwise. Otherwise, it's not assisting any of us. That Chapter 9 institution continues to be independent, continues to protect our young democracy. If you are 24 years of age, you are still regarded as young. In this case, as a young adult. So that's another issue that I thought should bring to your attention, Deputy Minister, and your team. These are matters we might wish to deal with, especially as they pertain to the minister herself. The comments made are the comments made by the minister. Yes, your accounting officer is your ultimate insofar as the administration is concerned. If you were to talk about the content of the issues raised, if that was the case, we would easily go straight and get the accounting officer to be an accounting person in this meeting. However, these are comments that are responded to by the AG's office on statements made by the minister. For that reason, we would really wish to have a session with the minister present in this regard. Any comments on that?
Thank you very much, Chair. These matters, Chair, that you have just made mention of brought to our attention by the Speaker of Parliament. This is after the Auditor General has raised his concerns with the committee responsible for the Auditor General, which is chaired by Honorable Smith. Now, once the Speaker has referred the matters to us, Chair, and it's now public knowledge, what we must do, Chair, it will require that both yourself and the chairperson responsible for oversight on the Auditor General, as letters comes from that particular arrangement, it's for both of you to meet and discuss an approach in dealing with this matter. From our side, Chair, as a committee, we know that currently there is a standoff between the Auditor General and the department on the issues regarding the findings of the AG. Now, these two issues, Chair, they go hand in hand. But we must be able to separate the current issue that is before the committee, before the department and the AG, and deal with this one separately. Hence, I'm proposing that, Chair, rather than having a one-on-one, it's not going to help you because the matter has been referred by the Speaker to the committee's attention. And we are now putting this matter before the committee. And what we are saying is that take this matter with the chair responsible on oversight with the AG. In that meeting, you can then deal with the way forward. Maybe in the next meeting, you can give us a brief on how you have resolved and what is the approach with regard to the issues that are before. So that's a proposal that I'm making, Chair. And I think it will be easy because I see a serious issue here that require a serious attention, by the way. So take it in that level and then we'll get a guide from you next week.
The issues at hand, so sorry, Ms. Manana.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. It's unfortunately because the minister is not here. If the minister was here, unless if system, the deputy minister will respond on some of the issues that will that you will need answers in according to this auditor's general letter that went to the speaker. Because if the minister was here, she was going to explain about everything, what happened. But now we have to put one of the departments in a corner. I don't know. I'll support Honorable Chauke that both two parties, maybe it can be you and the other chairperson to sit down so that you can deal with this thing. Then we wait for the minister to be in the committee.
There are three correspondences here that talks directly to the issues at hand. The one is one that came from the AG himself, directed to the minister on the 28th of November, which got the attention of the chair of the Standing Committee on Auditor General's COAC on the 30th. The last correspondence that came through is from the Deputy Speaker. I will just read just this one paragraph. It's a two sentence. It would be appreciated if the committee could attend, our committee could attend to the alleged complaint against the minister and consider determining if any appropriate action needs to be taken. This talks to the seriousness and the gravity of the issue that you are dealing with. In the main, this talks about what is referred to as, I hope this correspondence has since been distributed. It has been. It is in your packs. This talks in the main about the integrity of the Office of the Auditor General and the independence and how it seeks to uphold itself as a supreme audit body. That's what this talks to. as mentioned, the minister is not here. We cannot deal with the issue. We can only make reference to it so that we are alerting members of what we have with us. So this is a matter that, as I said, shall have to await the minister when she is present. We're fine with that.
No. We're not awaiting the minister when she's present, Chair. The point we're making is that this matter will require that both yourself and the chairperson responsible for oversight to meet and draft a way forward. And the way forward will not have to wait for. We have to call the minister to explain it. I do not want to get into the details of what must then happen moving forward. This, in fact, amounts to an inquiry that must be held by the committee. That is why I'm saying that consult the other chair. Once both of you have agreed on an approach, that approach will be the one that will help us. We're not going to wait for the minister. If we had to do it now in the committee here, you are not going to put it at the level of, please can you explain yourself, whatever. No. This thing has gone public, there's public records, and the AG says that. I have a recording of the minister that undermined the Chapter 9 institution. This is what we're dealing with. So it's not just a matter of we'll wait for the minister when she's available. What I'm saying is that take the matter up with the other chair, both of you, because you have been written, both of you. This matter has been brought to your attention. So I'm saying that, Chair, both of you meet, discuss it, and deal with the way forward, which will guide us how to deal with this. In fact, part of it, what you must do, will be even to get the legal advice of Parliament to help you how you should then process this. It's a serious allegation. It's not an allegation. It's the facts are put before us.
I repeat, this is a matter that I have to await the minister. In the context of all of these processes you are outlining, we have met very briefly earlier today with the chair of SCOAC, and we are agreeing on a process going forward. Once again, the issues are quite serious. The issues are in a manner that their seriousness requires a due process that shall ultimately reach the speaker of an outcome of all of those processes. So the minister will have to be answerable on her statements made, with all of those processes having taken course. We are agreed, I repeat, that we shall have to schedule. We have agreed in principle with Mr. Smith. So this is a process that is obviously going to go following all of this, that we received from both the Deputy Speaker and also the AG's office, and also, of course, himself, Mr. Smith, that is now the chair of SCOAC. Okay, this is not a matter for next week. This is a matter that is going to go through that process. And, of course, taking into account both the gravity of the problem and also the time issues that we are dealing with. Okay.
I'm sorry that I'm not creating a dialogue, obviously, in the meeting. Members would comment to. The chair, when you presented this matter, you have not made us aware that you have already met with the other chair.
Yeah.
We are insisting that you must meet with him. It's only now that you are saying you have met. And the point that you say, we're insisting that the minister must be available. We don't know what process you have agreed upon. Maybe what you should do, maybe, Chair, is that we'll take a guide from you. The matter gets noted in the meeting here. Maybe in the next meeting you can then sort of have a clear guide as to this how you're going to be processing the issue and all of that. We take it quite very seriously from our side too. Thank you.
Okay, so that's fine. If there is no other issue raised or comments by any of the members, I thought, Deputy Minister, that we should just deal with those issues and put them aside. These are issues that are of a serious nature. The BRA report, SCOPA report, and the AG's correspondence with regards to some of the statements made by the Minister. You want to comment on that?
Chairperson, the Whip of the Committee, Members of Parliament, officials of Water and Sanitation, ladies and gentlemen. Chair, I would like to say I've taken note of all the issues that you've raised. They are quite serious, Chair. And I want to also say I'm seeing this letter for the first time, and I had a small meeting with the acting DG before we came here. He told me about, but I didn't have the letter, that there's this matter. So I think you are right by saying maybe we should wait for the minister, invite the minister, so that I don't want to answer on her behalf. I've seen the little bit of the clip, and I think minister has answers to all the issues that you faced. And in that note, Chair, I want to reserve my comments. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for that, Deputy Minister. I'm 120 rand richer today. I want us to go through the issues themselves. Where are those issues? I want us to go through the issues themselves that are on the agenda for today's meeting. I must also mention that there are others that are directly to be responded to by the department itself, in particular, themselves, the Deputy Minister and the DG. There are other issues that will have to be dealt with by the Minister. Those shall have to be responded to by the Minister directly herself. Okay, and then of course also we are agreed that we should take a short meeting that responds promptly to the issues without much of any preamble, without much of any introduction, without much of any in conclusion. If we can also be precision like in dealing with the issues themselves. There are 10 of those areas that we had written directly to the department to be responded upon insofar as outstanding matters that we dealt with in our previous sessions. We give over to you, Deputy Minister, and your team.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, let me start by saying compliments of this evening. I'm seeing you for the first time, all the members of Parliament. I haven't seen you this year. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Mm. Chair, I have a list of the issues that you wanted us to answer, and 10 of them are in front of us, and the presentation that we have today, the content of it, it has 5 annexures, Chair. It has a letter of intent between Department of Water and Sanitation of the Government of South Africa. And also, Chair, I know some of the issues that we are going to raise in our briefing or presentation are the issues that I know about them. But last year, you've been insisting that you want us to bring the organogram in front of you, and organogram is part of the briefing, it's here, and I know that the issue of Mzimbubu was then quite serious, not only here in the committee, there was in Lekhutla in the Eastern Cape, people were asking about Mzimbubu, and it's something that people are waiting for out there. Then the DG will do the presentation of all the annexures. This, the annexure B, it's the cooperation framework agreement between TCTA and China Communications Construction Company. And then the annexures, Chair, are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And we have also Auditor General outcome on contestation. And then the annexure D, it's a presentation, it's briefing by the Department of Water towards establishment of the National Water and Sanitation Infrastructure, that is NAWASIA. And then the financial performance as at the 13th February 2018. The annexure F, we will provide the written response. We don't have it here. And UDG said there will be a written response. Then the last one, Chair, will be the organogram. Chair, I do want to make few comments of the issues that you raised. I'm not taking you back from your discussions, but one of them is the correspondence from the AG's office, which I think I've taken note of. And comments made by the Minister, and then the letter from the Speaker of Parliament. I'm raising it again, Chair, that I am going to tell the Minister, I'm going to give the report to the Minister, and at the moment we will stick to what is in front of us, which is the presentation,
And I'm not going to introduce Chair, as you said. The faces that are here in front of us is the faces that are old in the department. They are the part of the furniture of the department. Nobody is new. But when they respond, I would want or request them to introduce themselves for the record purposes. And then the first one, Chair, it's about Umzimvubu project, which at the moment I'm going to hand over to the acting DG to take us through the presentation. I thank you very much, Chair.
Apologies, Deputy Minister. Okay. It's my fault. We should have actually started with the organogram. The reason why we're starting with the organogram is because we are exercising an oversight on the on a department. We really would have loved to get a sense of how is this department structured. In fact, this is a long overdue subject. How is this organogram populated, especially at senior management level? We really don't want to, or we're not interested in the senior manager here, director here, deputy director here, assistant director here, more on the senior management level. I would imagine that talks to your DDGs.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I did make a comment to the acting DG that I wish the organogram was the first item because it will lead us even on the project that we're going to talk about. I think the DG is listening, and I'll hand over to you, DG, to present the organogram. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Chair, honourable members and colleagues, good afternoon. My name is Fisom Kize. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the Department, acting as the Director General. I will present the organogram. We have also included some list, item number 11 departments on organogram showing acting positions with names, showing the filled positions as well as the unfilled or vacancies from chief director level upwards, chief director, DDGs, and upwards. The last page of it is the organogram. At the top, you'll see the ministry, then the DG. Then there's a unit called Risk and Internal Audit. And the top structure, those are at a DDG level or at a program level. The first DDG or block there is Information and Planning Management and is headed by Mayor Deborah Moshotli. The second one is NWRI, which is headed by Zandile Makatini. Corporate Services branch headed by Mr. Squire Mashangu. Finance, the main account, which is headed by Sfiso Mkize. The finance for WTE was headed by Mr. Mufokeng, who resigned in December. Then the PMU unit, that one is vacant as well. It was headed by Ms. Gasa, who also resigned last year. Regulation branch headed by Anil Singh, who is currently on suspension. Operational integration, that's where Mr. Balza is. And international water support headed by Lindiwe Lusenga, and she's here. That's the top structure of the department. And in this list I'm talking about is number 11. That's where we are showing who's acting where. Like the first, at the top there, the DG post is vacant. The CFO of main account, which is Fisomkhize, is acting as a DG. And Rebecca Ngomo, who's sitting there, is the acting CFO in the main account, in my position. Then we have Togo Sigwaza, who's acting under regulation. And we have Mr. Paul Nell, who's acting CFO under WTE, where Mr. Mofokeng was. Did I leave anyone out? We have Conrad Creef, who's representing Mr. Squire Mashangu as the DDG Corporate Services. So that's the top structure, Chair, and the list of other personnel in other levels who's acting directors or acting chief directors. We have provided that list that shows all the names.
To just conclude, but what do you mean when you say representing Squire Mashangu? Is Squire Mashangu no longer a DDG?
He is a DDG chairperson, but mainly when we come to Cape Town, Mr. Mashangu is the person who normally stays in the office, because most of the time corporate services issues are not part of the discussions here. And if there's an item on HR, we prefer to bring a specialist in that field. Like in this case, the issues of organogram and suspensions, we have brought Mr. Conrad Creef to talk to those issues. But he is a DDG, he's still in the department.
You done? Are these all your DDGs?
Yeah.
All of them?
This is as far as I have approved.
Which other DDG is that is not part of this organogram? Okay, we'll come back to that. Mr. Chok?
Chair, your internal risk and internal audit, where are these people?
Yeah.
Not the single day you've ever brought them before this committee.
The unit is headed by Mr. Chris Dupree. He has, he does attend, he has been here many times. But we're looking at the, as part of cost containment, if there were no issues that affect the risk. So that's why we don't bring everybody. We bring people who need to come and respond on issues. But he is in the department.
I don't agree, Chair, with that the arrangement. Throughout, I mean, even if he has been here, I think we have never ignited that risk to the level that you find the department at the level that it's at now, financially and otherwise, and we have risk and internal audit in place. And I've been making this call myself. I'm not saying it for the purpose of debate now, but I'm saying these are very key people when you have to deal with the department. These are the line of defense of the department. And then always you come here, they're not here, I'm told they come here sometimes. Either we have not really tapped into them and understand their role. I think part of what the chair has put before, that let's have this understanding, who's who, because it's very important that we need to ignite everybody at any level. Now, the issue of Bob Mashangu, you're saying is represented by someone else, because always there are no issues about corporate services. And someone who's a specialist who comes in here. Either Chair, but let me leave it here because I think it will mess up the objective of why this exercise. I'll come back later.
Any further questions? Comments? Mrs. Manana?
I'll always mention that. I mean, I'm new in this committee, but what surprised me is that we are dealing with the department of acting. When are they planning to fill this vacant, or they've been advertised already? That's why they are acting. Because to deal with acting, I can see it's more than five positions that are acting. Thank you.
Okay, so just explain very briefly to us about operational integration. What does it entail? No, I'm still on the organogram. That's the position for Mr. Balza. And we can also explain as well, I'm made to believe that Mr. Balza was meant to go on leave, or retirement. You had to retain him. If you can also just take us through that one. And also just clarify what is meant and what does it entail, organizational integration.
Chair, Mr. Kriff, I'll invite Conrad Kriff to explain it further, but this is a structure that was approved in 2014. It entails the regional offices, the integration of the work that is done there, and other special projects within the department, but Conrad from HR will explain it further in terms of the block.
Chairperson, members, thank you very much. My name is Conrad Grieffer. I'm heading Human Resource Management in the department. Chair, as the acting DG has said, or maybe just a little bit of background, this is the current approved structure that is on record also with the Department of Public Service and Administration. It was approved in 2014. I think last year we mentioned briefly to the committee that we were in the process of reviewing our structure in line with the what we call the NMOS, which is the National Macro Organization of the State, integrating the sanitation function amongst others into the department, as well as other structural changes to align it to the strategy of the department. That is a process that we are busy concluding. We've been working on it for about 18 months or so. The minister commissioned that in 2016, and we're about to finalize with consultation. But in the meantime, this is the approved structure that has been in place since 2014. Just a little bit of background. As the acting DG has indicated, the operational integration is the unit that basically links the nine provinces, or the, what we refer to as the regions, under one DDG. That is the position that Mr. Trevor Balza has been employed against. However, because of the, let's call it the evolution of the department, we do not currently have that position functionally filled, because the regional managers all currently report directly to the Director General. But we are also addressing that in our new proposed structure, which I think will be appropriate to brief the committee at some stage on how we see our new depart or our new organizational structure being configured. With regard to his status of employment, Mr. Balza, he attained the age of 65, I think it was last year. And in terms of the Public Service Act, there is a provision that the minister may appoint such a person beyond the age of 65 for a maximum period of 2 years, which was then duly approved. And I'm sure that the committee is aware of the fact that Mr. Balza is, amongst other special projects that he's busy with, that he's also with the master plan, that he's coordinating that as one of the key priorities. And that's that's really what he's currently responsible for, amongst other special projects being assigned to him. But he's not performing the role of operational integration.
And how is that linked to information and planning?
I'm not sure. You mean the master plan? How is that? That function is actually resides with planning and information. But I think because of the urgency and the magnitude of this particular project or this plan, that was assigned to him to run with the development and finalization thereof.
Okay. When we say okay, we all understand what we mean. It's okay, it's fine, we can move on. We're not okay. I'm sure you should understand. I mean, you were listening to him, you know, clearly contradicting himself. He's in charge of this one division, but he's doing work of another division. That's what you're explaining in a nutshell.
Can I clarify what I mean by that?
No, it's understandable. It's understood. You know, he is in that organizational integration. There isn't much work happening there. You know, leaders of provinces report directly to the DG. But there is a special assigned responsibility and the agency to it. That's what I hear you to be saying. Otherwise, where it belongs, necessarily, it is in that information and planning. That's what I hear you to be saying, unless I hear it differently. Okay, members, we would also have been keen on the sanitation, since this is a structure of 2014, unless it is part of what is still to come, as you have been doing your own restructuring of the department. Where does it fall in the equation?
You're currently with what I refer to as the NMOS, which is the National Macro Organization of the State. When the function came over to this department in 2014, it was agreed with the Minister for Public Service and Administration that we will just be hooking that function as a chief directorate in the department. But now with the structure review that we're busy with, we want to integrate everything, and as far as planning, the implementation and everything, where it is appropriately placed across the relevant branches. And what we intend doing is to place that under NWRI, the infrastructure. But currently it's a function that's just standalone.
As you are responding, wasn't André van der Walt a DDG? That's how he introduced himself, acting DDG, responsible for sanitation. Am I wrong, members? No. Yes, he's chief director, but he has been introducing himself as acting DDG on sanitation. No, he's chief director, but acting DDG. That's how I seem to have understood him, unless I've understood him different. Anyway, Mrs. Mate?
I just wanted to clarify that not all sanitation is coming to NWIR. The NWIR is just the contractor of the department. We implement. It's that portion that comes to us. The planning still remains with DDG P&I for sanitation.
Okay, getting more complex. Mr. Chauke?
The review process, when did you start with the review and when are you going to end the review? Meaning that at what point do you envisage to have the complete structure? What is the involvement of a public service and administration in the process of review?
Oh, what is the involvement?
Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair. The sorry, I didn't. Chairperson, the structure review started in about the middle of 2016, April 2016 actually, where we appointed a service provider to assist us in reviewing our structure, as I said, in line with the mandate and the strategy, and especially the sanitation function that has been added as well. There's been a lot of consultation work and across all levels. It started off with a diagnostic analysis, which was an exercise that we undertook with organized labor. We went to all the regions, explained to them what's the need for the structure review, what it will entail, what the possible outcome, what are the issues. It also included what sometimes is referred to as a climate survey, in as far as this anticipated change is concerned. We then crafted and had extensive consultation with at executive management level in as far as the macro structure of the organization is concerned. And this is really, one can say, at DDG level, maybe moving down to chief director, because in some instances there are chief directors that report directly to the DG, for instance, audit and risk. So we have also finalized probably 90%, if one had to quantify that, in as far as the micro-organizational structure is concerned. As recent as about a week ago, we wanted to table the final draft to top management for minister sign-off then. And then where the DPSA comes in, there's a ministerial directive which requires of all departments or ministers that want to restructure do organizational structure review, that there needs to be concurrence from the Minister for Public Service and Administration, not only on the structure itself, but on the service delivery model, service standards, service delivery improvement plans, business processes. It's a very intense, well, the file is about, it's a thick lever arch file full of documents in as far as the service delivery plan and all of those are concerned. That whole pack then accompanies a request to the Minister for Public Service for concurrence on the structure. Now, I might also add that we're not only engaging them now, we have at an administrative official level, we have been bringing on board the DPSA through all these steps that we've done. And we believe that, well, within the next few weeks, that we'll be able to table the final structure to the MPSA. And once the Minister for Public Service has agreed, once Treasury has agreed that we have sufficient funds to fund the structure or budget to fund the structure, our minister can then finally sign off and then it can be implemented.
Maybe a small question on that. Maybe the underlying question would be, what informs the review? That I know for a fact that you have one issue which is outside, which is your sanitation. But what informs this review? What informs you? Is it for what? For what purpose? Just because here is the structure in place, you have gone on review. What informs that review?
See, what mainly informs the review is that we, as OD people say, that structure follows strategy. And when the strategy was developed in 2014 and beyond, and every year as we've been updating that, we've been trying to, the idea is to align our organizational structure to the departmental strategy. That's also the other reason, in addition to the integration of sanitation. Well, it is actually, because sanitation is part of our strategy.
No, that's fine. If you can also maybe just quickly unpack what goes into the ministry's structure.
The ministry structure is basically purely personal support to the deputy and the deputy minister. So that will be, and there is a provision of specific positions that are provided for in the ministerial handbook, which serves as a guideline. I'm not sure whether you want me to go through the different roles, but there is the chief of staff, there's media liaison, there's administrative secretaries, there's personal secretaries, parliamentary liaison, and then also administrative, more clerical, like messengers and clerks and secretaries and those. There are particular positions that are provided for the minister as well as then for the deputy minister. But the chief of staff is the administrative head of the whole of the ministry.
Okay.
How many people are attached to the minister and the deputy minister?
How many people or how many posts?
There are
normally there are 10 posts attached to the minister and 6 to the deputy minister. But there is also a provision that one can appoint additional staff on a fixed term contract. But it's 10 for the minister normal as per the ministerial handbook. 10 and then 6 for the DM.
I find out it's only the deputy that is here. Deputy minister, how many people are in your office that you have that are attached to you? Warm bodies, and do you know how many are in the minister?
It is the HOO, which is head of office, and also I have somebody who is attached in the constituent unit, and then I have also the liaising. Toko Nohushe is here, and then I have two people that are administrators, and there are two, one who is responsible for projects, and I think I have, because of constraints of funds, Chair, there are those that are based in Pretoria, because they can't travel all the time when you come here, and then all together, Chair, that office, when I came, the deputy minister before me said to me, I have 11 vacancies in that office, but not all of them are filled, Chair. Because I looked at what we're doing in the office, rather than having number of people that are not going to do anything. But so far, I would like to say, Chair, there are 6 altogether, except those that are there's messenger and administrators that are 2. Mainly I have 6. 1 HOO, liaising officer, somebody responsible for the work of the constituency, and 2 administrators, Chair.
Can you clarify again? Can we get the number for people in the office of the minister? And can someone maybe tell us the responsibility of each person in that office?
I am
supposed to be here, so she's not here. So someone will have to answer this question.
Chair, I'm not sure. Conrad, do you know exactly how many people?
See, at this point, I don't have the exact number. I can look for it on my computer, or I can ask the office and then provide it.
Who's responsible for staff in your department? The staff of yours, even if it's a support staff from the minister, that support staff still is accounted within the department. They are not separate from the department. They are still accounted for within your member. So who is that person responsible for that work?
For the starting
we don't want this from your head. When someone accurate straight to the point, these are the following positions that we have in that office.
Yeah, I can provide details on what those 10 positions in the ministry are, what those roles are. I can provide that information now immediately.
maybe another relevant question which is going to be the last from my side. How many DDGs do you have in the department? You have an additional question related to that?
No, I don't have a... It's just that I wanted to ask about this fixed contract. I think you indicated there are fixed contract posts that are there. If you can get the job description, the description of those. And when you say fixed term contract, if you can unpack that one for me, and how many are they? And are they utilized too?
Are we all okay now? We're fine. Oh, sorry, Deputy Minister.
I was going to say we have an organogram in front of us, and it's easy just to say out of these boxes, this is the DDG. Then you'll know the number of DDGs that we have.
Deputy Minister, Magoso, issues the administration. Deputy Minister, with respect, don't touch them much. We are led by the accounting office of the department. And these are issues that must be in his fingertips. He stops in and out. So don't put yourself there, my Deputy Minister. Let him speak of his department that is leading. Yeah, I think it's very important to do that.
The question is very simple. How many DDGs do we have in the department? If you can also provide us with the names as well.
In terms of the organogram, I would say all the top structures, those are DDGs. But obviously, as he said, there are people who are additional to the structure that are not part of the structure. So if I look at this organogram...
Are those also DDGs?
Sorry?
Are those DDGs as well?
Who are additional to the structure. Yes, there will be a DDGs that are not in the structure in terms of the condition of service. Take for example, a position of a chief engineer. A chief engineer, his level is at a DDG level, but in terms of the rank, or he will classify as a chief director. There will be other personnel who performs function that, like OSDs, at a level where the salary put them at level 15 at the DDG level. And those are the ones that he was talking that they'll be additional to the structure other than what the boxes are.
The question is very simple. It requires a simple answer. How many DDGs do you have in the department? And if you can give us the names of those DDGs.
Okay. As per the approved structure chairperson, the information and planning is Deborah Mashotli, NWR is Zandile Makatini, corporate services is Mr. Squire Mashangu, finance, the CFO, Mr. Mkize, finance WTE was Mpomo Fokeng, is currently vacant, and Paul Nell is acting in that position. PMU is vacant, it was held by Ms. Gasa. Regulation, Anil Singh. Operation and Integration, Trevor Balza. And International Water Support is Lindiwe Lusenga. And those are the DDGs that we have in the department.
And PMU, we don't have anymore.
That one is vacant, yes. The DDG, as well as the one next to it, Finance WTE. They both resigned in 2017.
Who are the other DDGs that are not here in any of these boxes that are employed as DDGs?
Conrad, will you assist me on that one?
See, there's one more DDG, which is Ms. Ntabiseng Fundakubi. she's in, employed additional to the establishment of the branch corporate services. She, yes, yes, under that branch, additional to the staff establishment. So it's not part of the approved structure.
Why is it different?
Because there is not currently a formal position on the structure that can that she can be placed against, where her skills are matched. Okay.
Who is another TGC or other TGCs that are not in the box?
Well, there aren't any other DDGs, Chair.
But there's been indication of engineers that are in chief director's post, but they are on the DG salary scale.
Chair, those are what we refer to the OSD, the occupational specific dispensation. They are not managers, senior managers. They are part of OSD, although they are remunerated at salaries equal to that of chief directors or DDGs. They are not regarded as SMS members, senior management service members.
There's another gentleman. What's his name? What? Mention the other name. Yeah, who's also a DDG. What's his name? He works in the office of the minister. Or with the minister. Can't remember his name. Starts with an A. Aviva. Aviva. Where is he? I'm told he never comes to meetings of this nature. Works behind the scenes.
Well, asked you a question earlier. I thought someone was going to
ask. Is he a DDG as well?
I'm not sure about his salary level, but he doesn't occupy a DDG position in the ministry because there is no such position. So I can find out what exactly his salary notch is.
DJ, can you respond to that one? Is he a DDG?
No, sir. No, Chair. He's not a DDG. He is in the office of the ministry. He might be remunerated as a DDG, but I have to check on that and provide a written response on that, Chair. In terms of, but there is no level for him as a DDG.
Because I'm informed that as and when he goes out there, he introduces himself as a DDG.
Sorry, Chair. I'm not interfering. Sorry, we are in Parliament, Chair. We're expecting accountability, and there's no way that people can come here. And I think it has been made very clear to the acting DG that this is what we expect today. Now, when you expect that to present an organogram of your department, I don't believe this thing that says that I'll still go and check, we'll come back to you. I don't see it. I've asked a question, how many people are in the... You see, public service administration currently, the minister is in hot water. Because he has bloated the office with a... people that are not supposed to be in that in that office. She has just expanded, and I'm told that there are about 40 people. And the matter is obvious, it's before the Committee of Parliament. And all committees are ignited now to begin to look at the structures of every department organogram and confirm who is there, starting with the office of the minister to the last person. So this exercise that we're doing, Chair, it's an exercise that if you don't have clarity, you just ask someone to stand at the door outside and make a call and come back and give us accurate information. This is how serious this matters are. We're not doing it just for the sake of doing this exercise. We're doing it because we wanted to confirm that the structure that is in place is a structure that is funded, is a structure that is approved, and everyone who is in that department is someone that someone must account for. And the person who can account for everyone who's there is the DG of the department. Then the rest of you, if you don't have an answer, you stand outside, you make a call, you get that information, you come back, give us accurate. We are not going to dispose of this matter and waiting for the next watch call. Let me tell you again that we don't have much time of Parliament, by the way. In June, Parliament is going to recess for elections. So we have to clear up all of these things are meant to clear up for us to understand what is it that we have in place. There are ghost employees that we know of. I'm not sure if it's in the department or such. So it's important to confirm and to tell us exactly what we want to hear. So if you don't have an answer now, it's before 4 o'clock, your office is still open, please get that information. We'll continue engaging on this matter, but that information must be tabled today here.
Ms. Manana, Mrs. Mahamane noted. We are about to round up on the issues.
I think you said you have asked a very simple question. How many DDGs do they have? According to the approved organogram for 2014, when I look at this organogram, it's just 9 DDGs, if I'm correct. And the additional DDG that is not approved, which is outside of this structure, they've only mentioned one, which is 10. The other extras, which they did not even mention, we don't recognize them as DDGs. Number two, I'm not going to agree with Honorable Chauke that you can come in this meeting and we address issues from the officials, that we have to sit here, they go outside to give a call to their office, then we have to sit and wait for an answer. I think we must have relevant officials who come with answers here. That's it.
Mrs. Mahabana.
Thank you, Chair. I think my question is more or less the one that has been asked by Honorable Manana, because I wanted to say that it's like the organogram in front of us. It's not a true reflection of the people or the workers in the department. And the other issue, I wanted to align with Honorable Manana to say the issue of calling in order to get the exact number of DDGs or whoever that we want to know about now, to me it's like even that report it's not going to be correct to us. Why can't we give them time maybe to say in our next meeting next week, since we said we're going to meet next week, they must bring the organogram with a true reflection of everybody. Because it's like we'll be going up and down, and if you don't have information to say, this type of a person is like, he used to introduce himself when they are somewhere else, because it's not like they do that when they are here in Parliament. So for those that we don't know, the people who are attending other meetings somewhere else, it means we'll just watch. Wait and look into those that are knowing those people out there. Why can't we ask them to bring the true reflection of the organogram of the department in our next meeting? Thank you.
Chairperson, I asked a question on the fixed contract. You remember the one? I was not answered.
Fixed what?
Contract. I think he has written those. He remembers, isn't it? Thank you.
Now, it's not a question of having to agree with me or any other way, colleagues. The issue is that the information that we are asking here is information that does not rely on the minister to give us information. Deputy Minister, here, she gave us the detail of the staff complement in the office. You, where you are sitting, you know how many people are in that office. You know it. How many people are in the system. And the point I'm saying is that I would not mean that you must go outside and close the meeting. That information must be given in this meeting today, here. There's no other meeting that is going to deal with the structure other than this meeting today, here.
Okay, thanks. maybe my last question should be, what is the role of Luvo Makas in the department? That question only attracted some smiles. That's the best word that we can get out of that question. So we don't have anyone who can respond to that. No one can respond to that question. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps I can respond to it because
I've responded to it. If you can also introduce yourself
in the media as well. My name is Mlimandela and I'm assistant.
I didn't hear the last part.
I'm saying my name is Mlimandela.
No. Before that?
I was saying, Chair, perhaps I can respond to it because it's a question that was asked to us by the media and we have provided a response to the media on that question. So I'm saying that the response we gave to the media may be equally valid for this meeting, if you allow me to proceed.
So, talking here as a communications person, responding to the media from time to time, is that the context in which you are responding?
No, Chair, I've clarified that I'm spokesperson to the minister, and I'm saying this question has arisen from the media previously. And there's a response which is an official response that we have provided on behalf of the department and the ministry to the question. So I hear it asked now, and possibly we could respond to it in the very same fashion that we responded to, because I think there is a response on record on the question set.
Chairperson, will the media statement suffice? Here we want the truth, not to, we don't want something that has been, you understand?
Since when the minister spokesperson speaks in the meeting, when we dealing with political matters, you do spokesperson outside there, not in parliament. The spokesperson don't speak in parliament and unless they're invited to, and they're mandated to. The only person who's accountable to parliament and answerable to parliament is the DG of the department. And anyone who's going to speak is going to speak by invitation of the DG, no one else. There's a DM here, there's a DG. So anyone who speaks on the invitation by the DG, because the DG is the one who's answerable to Parliament and the minister is accountable to Parliament. So I don't want us to create problems and end up getting statements which are issued by some spokesperson there, Chair. This Parliament, we have to respect it to that level. So if there's that question you have asked, Chair, the DG will speak on it. If Deputy Minister cannot speak on it, the DG will speak on it. Other than that, it's only by invitation by the DG. That's how it's done, recorded. That's how we're going to do oversight. It's not going to be done like we're just excited at the corner there. We just issued statement is a statement. That's fine. The question that the chair is asking is that, who is this person? And that question is directed to the DG and the Deputy Minister here. And if there's no one who can speak on it, then we leave it.
There's simple, I like answering simple, asking simple questions. What is the role of Luvo Makas in the department?
As far as I know, Chair, Luvo Makas doesn't work for the department and doesn't have any role in the department.
At one point you would have been listening to yourselves talking about him having been providing legal advice at one point. That's what we got when responding to some of the media articles that we brought into the committee.
Chair, he's not an employee of the department. That's why I'm saying he plays no role in the department. If he was providing a legal opinion, he might have done that as a service provider. But he's not an employee of the department, and he plays no role in the department.
Okay, thank you. Are we fine with all the issues related to the organogram? Mr. Sora, just remind me of the name again.
Griefer, Conrad, Chair.
Mr. Griefer.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, sir.
Chair, I still just need to respond. I'm awaiting the information on the number of positions and people in the ministry. But in as far as the contract is concerned, as I've indicated, the ministerial handbook provides for 10 positions. In the case of, well, I'm not sure whether I should again go through them, the Chief of Staff, Admin Secretary, Media Liaison Officer, Private Secretary, Appointment Secretary, Assistant Appointments and Admin Secretary, Parliamentary Officer, a Secretary, a Receptionist, a Registry Clerk, and a Driver and a Messenger. That's for the Minister. For the DM, it's, as DM has indicated, the Head of the Office, a Media Liaison Officer, a Parliamentary Officer, a Private Secretary, a Secretary Receptionist, a Registry, and then a Driver Messenger. But in addition to that, and those positions are provided for, these people are also employed on fixed-term contracts, mainly linked to the political head's term of office. However, what the Minister and the Deputy Minister can also do is there can be additional functions that can be created on the structure. And those people are then also appointed linked to the term of office of that particular political head. So if that person then leaves, then those employees need to accompany them. And there's also provision in the regulations that the normal recruitment and selection processes are not followed in that instance because they are linked to the term.
Are all of those people in the Minister's office and also Deputy Minister's office linked to a fixed term of political office of those principals? Are they all linked to that political office for the term or duration of their being minister or deputy minister? If you can also bring us those contracts as well in our next meeting. That's now linked to the point raised by Mr. Mguni Maratse. If you can respond now, or you can even respond later. When responding later, you respond later with the contracts that we shall have to appraise ourselves with.
Can I just for now, and I will get the contracts. There can be employees in terms of the regulations that it is allowed to have permanent employees in the ministry. But what often happens with the change of administration, then the new political head comes and they think about, I want this and this and this person. And then what we then need to do is to try and deploy those into permanent positions. So I know that the majority, but I'll get the exact number of staff, but I know the majority of people are linked to the term of office of the minister and the deputy minister. But I'll get all those details, their names, their positions, as well as the nature of their employment, and then submit it to the committee.
Okay, Deputy Minister.
So, I think I'm happy with the notion that says I must not answer. Thank you very much, Whip. But I don't have a permanent staff in the office. I'm not quite sure whether Minister has, but I don't have all of them. If I lose the job, they will all leave the office according to the what I was told. Thank you, Chair.
You had responded, Mr. Khrief, am I right?
Yes,
earlier on by directly responding to Mr. Mguni. All of the staff members are linked to the political office and the curation of that political principle. That was your direct response. And then I ask a follow-up as to whether all of them are linked to that office. And I further requested that if you can bring all the contractual agreements of those staff members in those respective offices, be fine. Nothing else but the truth. Something has arisen.
No, it's not arisen. I think I just need to clarify myself. There are three ways in which one can employ staff within the ministry. The one is on a fixed-term contract linked to the political...
No, that's fine. We just, those are the details that we want.
Okay.
When we bring all the information. Thanks for that. Members, I think that should be it for the organogram. It was quite a longish one, but very important, I must say. It gives us some bit of an understanding of the department we deal with. That's what we were supposed to have done long time ago, getting a sense of as to this department is structured along the following lines. These are the warm bodies attached to the respective positions. For us to be able to get to know exactly how to then move forward. Am I right, Mr. Bassa? Okay, in the absence of... Mrs. Makhabara?
When you're saying that we are done, are you meaning that they are not longer going to bring the organogram, we're satisfied with what we have today?
We're sorry about that. Thanks for that reminder. We are agreed that we are going to get the names, we are going to get the contractual agreements. What else are we going to get, Mr. Mkiza?
DDGs that are additional to the structure.
Okay. We really would really wish to streamline ourselves so that we know exactly who's doing what. That's what we are about, as people who are doing an oversight. We shall take it further, Mr. Person, and talk about the department appraising us on the qualification of all of those senior managers. We shall have to get to that. It might sound operational, but as part of our oversight work, because we really want to have a functioning department. If you can try and I take it, members who are supportive of that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for all of that.
Is that DDGs or also chief directors, everybody?
Or senior managers? Okay, thank you for that. Deputy Minister, you might wish to take us
next week.
Next week on Wednesday. Deputy Minister, you want us to take us to... Deputy Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think according to the agenda, Chair, because we started with the last one, we are now going to go to the Annexure A, which is going to be presented by the acting DG. Benzevo.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I thought since we're on the HR matters, we're going to deal with the issues of suspensions, but it's fine, I'll move to the issues of, so that we finish with the HR matters and we move to, with your permission, Chair.
No, what I've heard is the, how many are actors, people that are acting? I think it's the question that came from Honorable Manana. There are so many actors. Maybe we should just, that information must also cap with the people that are acting in the office and vacancies that are in, at that level.
Chairperson, I think if we can take that direction, because there's not number three that talks about it. You see, we are finished with HR, so that when we get to other reports, at least now we know that we're not getting into those things. I don't know. I'm supporting that. Thank you.
That's fine. Thanks for that guidance, Deputy Minister, and also Mr. Mgun. DG, you want to take us through? I would imagine that shouldn't take much of the time. It's a simple and straightforward issue.
That's page 13 of the presentation. The first one at the top, it was the Director General was suspended and his matter was resolved, and it has since been transferred to the Department of Cooperative Governance with effect from 1 December 2017. Then we have Mr. Anil Singh, who is the DDG for Regulation. The disciplinary process has been ongoing. The next date for his hearing is on the 16th, and the following date is on the 21st of February. Mr. Mofokeng was on suspension and he has since resigned by end of December. And the DDG WNRR, Ms. Mathieu, was also suspended and she has made written representations, and the legal services as well as the labor relations are considering the submissions for whether to take any further action on the matter. Chief Director for Sanitation, Mr. Van der Vaart Andre, is also, the process of his hearing is ongoing, and the last hearing was on the 25th of January, and the matter is not yet finalized, so it is an ongoing matter. So those were DDGs and the DG who was on suspension and the progress on those matters. Obviously, with the vacancy of a DG, I'm acting there, DDG Regulation, Ms. Thokozi Gwaza, who's the chief director in that unit, is acting in the DDG Regulation. CFO WTE, Mr. Paul Nell, is acting in that function. Mr. Krief, if maybe I left anything you want to add from the HR perspective?
No, I think that's fine. As I said, these were the ones that, as DG was saying, these are the ones that we reported on previously. All the chief directors upwards that were previously suspended. And these hearings are all ongoing.
There's a farmer in Port Elizabeth called Krief. No family. No family relations. We buy, you know, sheep and goats and cows. Anyway, that is a straightforward response on page 13. Any comments? Mr. Mashidicho has been transferred to the department with effect from 1st of December. The suspension has been lifted. What were the issues? What were the issues?
With the DG? Maybe Chair, for that one I will ask Mr. Krief to... I was not privy to it because it was a DG upwards. So I'm not sure what
okay,
the issues
are.
Or the deputy...
Maybe... Mr. Chairperson, why this mass suspension? You see, It's like a weapon of mass destruction in that department.
That's fine. Understandably so, that I would imagine either the minister or the deputy minister might just wish to respond. But if the deputy minister doesn't feel comfortable, we should really respect that. You can't get Mr. Khrief, you know, on all fairness, I mean, to respond on this one. Even if, you know, he's an HR person. These are matters beyond, I would imagine, your comprehension. Mr. Person, noted. Mr. Chauke.
Chairperson, just on Mr. Singh, it says he has suspension lifted. Is he back at work? If the suspension is lifted, it means he must be back at work. Or do I understand it wrong?
You see, also if you were to hear or rather read the comments, you are suspended and it is lifted. But the hearings are ongoing. The suspension has been lifted, but the hearings are ongoing. What anyone of us who has some background in labor law, Mr. Chauke, I saw your hand up.
I was going to ask for an interest around the issue of the DG, the suspended DG and the charges. The matter has been settled, but there were charges. I'll be happy if those charges can be submitted to the committee, even if the matter is now settled. I have a particular interest in that regard, Chair, and the DG knows. And I want to put it on record that one of the charges was that Mr. Matshidiso has informed Honorable Chauke that the minister does not know anything about the department. And it's one of the charges that are there. So I request them to submit that in writing to the committee chair. I'll tell you in the next meeting why I wanted them to do that, Chair. And that information must be submitted. If they cannot, I'll source that information myself and I'll bring it to the committee chair. Because they are very serious, the allegations that are made. And once you suspend the DG, on the basis that he has informed. Same applies with the Singh case, Chair. Singh misled Parliament, one of the charges, right? Get suspended. DG Matshidiso, the same, but here there's an allegation that he said something to a member of Parliament about the capacity of the minister or the understanding of the minister of the department, whatever, you know, arrangement there. So that information must be submitted here because action is going to be taken, Chair. If it's put fraudulently or deliberately to tarnish other people's names, it has to be clarified in the committee somehow. Or that individual has a right to take the necessary action against those who have put those charges. So I'm proposing that, I'm requesting, Chair, that we get a list of the charges that were put before the former now department.
Maybe let's correct it, Mr. Chauke, in the following manner. Yes, your name may be there. However, the interest must be of a committee nature. Today it may be yourself. Tomorrow it may be somebody else.
Okay.
So that we take collective ownership of any such in the interest of any of our members of the committee. That's the spirit in which I would really want us to. Mrs. Manana?
I think I'm partly covered, Chairperson, because I also had an interest of the charges. But what I wanted to check with the department, because if the suspension has been lifted, don't you think that you're taking your burden to other departments, because it seems as if you have transferred Mr. Machiliso to cooperative governance. Don't you take your burden to other departments?
Let us agree that we are not going to be able to entertain a matter related to the suspension of the DG, save for the charge sheet that must be brought to the committee. Granted, he is gone. Granted, he has since been released to another department. But the issues remain, hence the charge sheet. Now, I want us to move away from that one with that proviso. And perhaps a matter has been raised by Mr. Basson about Mr. Singh. The suspension has since been lifted. The processes of discipline are ongoing. And the last hearing was on the 8th of Feb. And the next hearing is on the 16th and the 21st of Feb. From a labor law point of view, if we can just be clarified, you are suspended and your suspension has been lifted. Direct question, is he reporting on duty? Is Mr. Singh reporting on duty now that the suspension has been lifted?
If I can respond to that, we did, as we indicated, I think it was, 20th of November, we indicated to him that his suspension is lifted. However, what we did is we indicated to him that he will be performing a different role upon return of his suspension because of the nature of the charges that are against him. So we said to him he needed to go and report to a different role within the department until... and that's of a temporary nature until the disciplinary hearing is concluded. He, however, declared a dispute on the matter, and he's also now taken the matter to the... I think he's filed an application to the Labour Court on this particular matter. So, although his disciplinary hearing is going on, he hasn't reported to for duty as yet, but we are communicating with his legal representative on getting him back to the office, because according to us, we have lifted his suspension.
That's a direct response. He is not reporting on duty. That long-winded response. Mr. Basson, you making a follow-up? Noted, Mr. Mguni.
Did I understand you correct? So on the 20th, he lifted his suspension, and on the 21st he came to work, and then you said, no, you're not going to be the DDG now. You're going to act in another capacity. Is that more or less what you are saying?
Can I respond, Chair? What we did is he declared a dispute initially at the bargaining council for an unfair suspension because we exceeded the 60 days. At the bargaining council, through a pre-arbitration, we then agreed to lift his suspension, bring him back to work, but then in a different capacity. So we told him he needs to report for duty immediately, but not in the capacity of DDG regulation.
Let's allow me some good.
In accordance to labor law, is that applicable for you or for whoever took that decision to say you are a DDG but you cannot function as a DDG, or could putting you in the lower level? Is it applicable in regard to the conflicting matter? In the issue of the court, is it so dire that if he comes in there, he may... I don't know what the nature of the case is, that he can tamper with the suspension 32.
Mr. Chauke?
No, no, Chair, my clarity of yours. Three of the DDGs were suspended. It was three of them, Chair. Right? Is it three? Or four?
Three DDGs and one chief.
Three of them. And all three of them are back in their position because you failed to charge them. This other one, you don't give him back to his position. What makes you not put him back to his position? Why this other one? The rest of them are back into their position because you don't charge them. Why this one you've not put him back to his position? Huh? You have been talking with confidence on all of these things.
Okay. Any of your officials, Deputy Minister? Any of your officials? Through you, Deputy Minister.
It depends on the nature of the charges. In Mr. Singh's case, obviously, during the hearing, the people who worked with him in that unit, where some of them were witnesses. So, and him going back to the same unit, department felt that he was going to interfere with the witnesses. Hence, he was not put there, but a position was sort of created for him to manage, but without interfering with his condition of service. So he's still a DDG, but not performing the functions that he was performing before suspension.
Is it clear enough? Mrs. Mahaman?
Chairperson, I don't understand the issue of exceeding. I heard that Mr. Singh has been called back because they failed to charge him, I think, within the 60 days. What was the delay? What makes the department to delay? Because I think it's on rules that they must deal with the matters within the period of 60 days. Thanks.
Mr. Chauke, you want to add on that?
No, Chair, the point that the acting DG has made is that charges are still put before Mr. Singh. Other DGs have made their own written submissions, meaning that the charges still stand. And part of the charges is that it comes from within the department, meaning that people are witnesses. Are in the department and you feel that you must not be there because you'll interfere with witnesses. You've communicated that to him. Because beyond that, we can't. As Parliament of yours, we can't say, put him back there. I mean, once you've decided, but as long as it's within the law, whatever that you're doing, as long as it's done within the law, that we are not, undermining the law by criticizing other people and making them suffer because we have a particular agenda on them. If that is what we understand, Chair, that is going to interfere with witnesses, at some point it will be good for the committee to get those charges to him. I think it's unfair now, given the charges to him. I think it is important for the committee to be briefed of the charges to him, because the matter is on, those charges stand, compared to other people who have made their written submissions now, after they were not charged. So this one is spent, so we may be giving those charges so that the committee can then know. We do not want a situation where someone writes trampled upon because of whatever. So we'll be happy to get that information. But we'll not want to interfere much with for the operations on a day-to-day in the view of the department if they feel that it will not be right. As long as the next person accepts the next position, temporarily until the matter is sorted out.
Okay, we're fine. Nkosi.
Thank you, Chair. Just want to ask one thing on the issue of Mr. Singh. His suspension is lifted. He's supposed to be back at work. As has been said, he has been redeployed to another field of work. According to the first issue of the pamphlet or the presentation, was that he has not come back to work. He is in an unauthorized leave. What is the current situation at the moment? Is he away on an unauthorized leave, or does he come to work? What is the position there?
Okay. You want to respond to any of those questions, DG, Deputy Minister?
Chair, currently the matter is before the Labour Court because his legal team since declared the dispute. And the matter now is before the Labour Court.
So the matter is sub judice. Okay. How do we move forward on that one? The matter is before the courts, so it means we cannot engage unless we were to be engaging outside of everyone, in a nutshell. But even that one, there would have to be measures that are stricter. When the matter is sub judice, you find it very difficult to engage on it. But there should be principles that relate to how we deal consistently with the issues. I guess the main question that really before us that we are not dealing with, so that we don't react to each and every case. The main issue has to do with the nature of charges. For us to engage intelligently in such sessions. Otherwise, if we are to be with a three-sentence comments, you know, on one slide, Mufokeng resigned from the department and the department accepted his resignation, it ends there. This matter submitted written representation and the department is currently considering representation, it ends there. It requires of you to dig deeper into the issues. For you intelligently, I repeat, to engage with the subject matter at hand. Otherwise, as we speak now, dealing with the matters at hand in the manner in which we are dealing makes it difficult for us to continue in the manner in which we have two meetings. It makes it difficult for us to continue with our meeting if we do not have the necessary tools that are going to assist us in analyzing intelligently to engage in such a very important discussion. At the end of the day, let us repeat what we always say, members. This is not personal. We have no relations with any of the staff members at hand. We want to do our work, and nothing will stop us from doing our work whatsoever.
and we want to be clinical as we continue doing our work. For a simple reason, we want to have a functioning department. We want to have an efficient department. We want to have an effective department that does what it is established for. Am I right, Mr. Khrif?
Yes, sir.
Am I speaking your language?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Choker?
I'm just working this thing out, trying to have an understanding. But if an official of the department, under the leadership of the DG or the minister, mandated to speak in parliament, I know for a fact at the level of rules of parliament, members of the public are protected, that whatever they say to parliament cannot be used against them outside parliament. Here is the situation of Mr. Singh, and one of the charges is that he misled parliament. Now, I'm trying to bring in an element that so that in future officials that appear before parliament does not feel scared or intimidated or feel like they will not give information, because maybe it's part of what we're dealing with earlier today when we're asking you about the composition of the staff in the office of the minister. And you're not able to tell us, but you know the truth was happening. But you're not able to tell us because you feel that you're not mandated to speak on such matters. How do you deal with such, Chair, so that these officials become, they speak to us, either they will have misled Parliament to a point that it has to be corrected, or again the Department will have to communicate to Parliament formally to say that on this day, based on the records again, maybe in a corner, that you will then get Parliament's records and then you refer on the records of Parliament, that on this day, the following official was mandated by the department to appear before you has misled you on the following, and therefore as the department we have taken action against that particular official, which I see the suspension is more of having misled parliament. Now if parliament is going to keep quiet and then say no, it's fine, deal with him there, it's not going to be fair, Chair, that at the end of the day, we're not going to have a proper, robust oversight where officials are free to raise, speak on issues. I'm saying that I think we must begin to take an interest around the things of this thing. We may want to process it somehow, Chair, not now, here in this meeting. Normally, committees of parliament will have the legal advisor that sits in the portfolio committee. That then advises members of such issues if someone has misled parliament or given wrong information to parliament. You know, how is that person protected moving forward? You know, I'm saying that it's something that will have to be get checked, because one of the charges against Mr. Singh is that he has misled parliament. Now I'm saying that in the name of oversight and accountability, maybe it's not what someone does not want that person to say and said. We don't know. But I'm saying let's take an interest around it to a point that we may want to discuss it in a closed session of the committee and then get the legal advice of Parliament to come in. Because when we deal with Parliament, we deal with records of that get submitted. People sometimes, someone will take an oath before they speak. In an abnormal situation, but in a general arrangement, that any person that speaks will tell the truth at the end of the truth, as we know. You know. So I'm saying that let's begin to look at that particular area so that you know, every official that appears before speaks to raise issues that somehow way is misled or has given wrong information, there's a mechanism in place that sort of kicks in. You know, that cannot be seen alone. One day it will be DG, it'll be DG himself. You may come here and mislead us. It may be you there who refusing to give us the staff compliment or the department. What do you do with that person who knows we need that did the composition but refused to give us information about the composition of the minister's staff complement. You know, those issues. And when I was insisting with colleagues, when they were saying, no, in fact, we don't want them to bring that information now. You know, sometimes this thing helps. You put the matter in the table, you don't dispose of it, we leave it, you go back, you get charged for another. But we had information before you, but we are not able to share it with Parliament. You don't know, Chair, but I'm saying that maybe let's take an interest around this area, Chair. We may want to deal with it in our own, somewhere in the corner where we meet, and just find a way in which, what is it that we expect from the department when they come to us.
Let us summarize this matter, number three, in the following manner. Let us receive those charge sheets, go through those intelligently, being able to prepare us to engage with the department on those. Let us also agree that these are matters that are quite sensitive. We'll have to deal with them in a closed session. It will therefore require of us to apply for a special permission to meet in a closed session. Are we fine with that, members? Thank you. So that then dispenses off with number three. Then, DG, Deputy Minister, you can come back with the rest of the other issues.
Chair, I think we're done with the organogram, the vacancies in the department and those that are acting. If you allow me, Chair, I will hand over to the acting DG to tell us about the Umzimbubu. I don't know how we're going to present it, Chair, because I don't see the exit calls. Yeah, I know that everyone has copies, but I think I think, Chair, the acting DG won't read line by line. We know the issues now, and it's not the first time we come to this portfolio committee, and I'm not saying jump the important issues in the presentation, but let me allow the acting DG to present. Thank you.
Is it possible that DG can, you know, have done this matter for just to zoom into key areas rather than giving us the whole presentation, the status of the project, the status of China, is China on board, and then from there we deal with the, you know, just a brief, for you to go through that whole exercise, just give us what is the status.
Let me handle the meeting on your behalf, Mr. Chauke. You know what to do. In less than 5 minutes on Zimbabwe. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I'll try, sir. Thank you very much. I won't give any preamble. Last time we interacted with National Treasury, Department of International Relations and Cooperation, the Presidency, as well as Department of Transport, because Mzivu project was one of those projects that were identified as FOCAC projects, including other projects that were there. Treasury team advised us to make an application to the budget facility after this project was categorized as a social project to address the water shortages or the underserved in the Eastern Cape. The closing date for that was in August 2017. In that application, there were a number of things that for the department to meet that application that we need to comply with. They will look at the designs that are in place. They look at the procurement issues and so forth. With the issue of Mzimbubu, we have been granted funding by National Treasury to do the design. the funding for the construction that was not made available because we're not at that stage. A big project of that nature, when it comes online, National Treasury needs to give you a new budget for it. We were looking at different options together with National Treasury. But I must state, Chair, that the issue of the financial model and negotiations of interest rates, that's not in the department's mandate. TCTA, together with Treasury, they look at that. They look at different models. They look at what the World Bank is offering. They look what the Chinese are offering. In this particular case, since it was also prioritized as a focus project, we're looking at the Chinese financing model. For us, what we did, we also applied to National Treasury in terms of Section 79, because at the time, the Chinese model had some benefits because their funding had the concession loans, it had the grant funding, and also the cost of capital was was a bit attractive because they were also prepared to give us the cost of 1.5%. But one of the challenges was that if we have to embark on that, the Chinese needed, the bank needed to nominate a Chinese company to do the construction of the, if they give you the money, they also wanted a Chinese company. So we had to apply to the Treasury, in terms of Section 79, to see if they can waive the procurement in terms of the appointment of the Chinese company. Treasury has since written back. They've turned down that application. So the project is classified or categorized as a social project, that the construction of it will come from the fiscus. For any construction going forward, the normal procurement processes will be followed. As it stands, we've only done the designs, and there's no construction of the project as yet. The MTEC Committee of the National Treasury, last time I checked, they were supposed to make a presentation to the Minister's Budget Committee and give their outcome whether through the funnel where they put all the projects, if this project met their criteria. The outcome of that is not yet been made to the department. We're still awaiting the written response from the National Treasury. That's where we are, Chair.
And expected of the process after National Treasury?
After National Treasury, if it is successful, then they will make a budget items to fund to start the construction. Then from there, then the procurement of the construction work then will start. But we can't go on procurement without securing the budget.
That is going to follow a public bidding process.
That's correct, Chair.
Okay. That's a straightforward one on a matter that we've long been. We did bring the matter. We also did request the department to bring before us the nature of the agreement with the Chinese. That's what we are now getting. We fine with that? Straightforward? Okay, thank you. Let's take this number four. Again, another simple and straightforward one. How far are we? Is that happening?
Yes, number four is happening, Chair.
In the short term, in this financial year ending March 2018, we've made money available to Machalis. We've made 10 million rand available for the design work. In all, we made 36 million rand available, but they said they can do work up to 10 million for up to end of March, and they promised that they will complete the designs June, July. On completion of those designs, then we'll make a further 26 million to make the 36 million for the Gauteng local municipality. But there is a master plan that was compiled by Magalis Water that looks at the whole issue in that area, including the Gauteng. The work there is underway, but in the short term, looking at the Gauteng itself, there is work that currently Magalis is doing, and we are expecting the completed designs by June, July of 2018.
Another simple and straightforward one, for benefit of Ms. Manana, this is a project that emanates out of our oversight visit in Northwest, in an area called Gauteng. Over 40,000 communities still do not enjoy water. I don't know how they are surviving as we speak now. whether it was tankering and all of those, I don't know what the state of affairs as we speak. Again, I repeat, but this is an issue that got wind to our committee, which we then had to impress upon the department to intervene. Maybe one simple question. I don't want to assume that there is work currently going on and there are designs and so on. So that assumes that the directive has long been issued. Is that a correct assumption? Just on a administrative level.
Sorry, Chair, I need to check that because...
Thanks, DG. The directive is for planning spec 1, 2, and 3, so it was long issued.
Okay, thanks for that. Mr. Chauke?
You're dealing with phase 3. Phase 2 and 3, 1 and 2 were presented with, and we have agreed on that. For the claim to receive the water power, we're going to want phase 3. That's where, and that's what we need. Phase 3 is not issued. Either what utility is saying on the studies that have been done, but something else. So what we know, because we live there, we're not saying it because for the sake of saying it, we're saying it because we're informed that it's only phase 3 that one that has that commitment to have water. I think I'm right, if I'm not wrong, if I'm not right, but my information I have is that phase 3 is the one that will take water to Gauteng. Phase 2 and 3, phase 1 and 2 are for King Matawi and Matai.
Phase 3 will take water to Gauteng, but there are serious water management issues that Gauteng needs to deal with. We have met with the MM, and he has agreed on some of the operating and maintenance rules that he has not managed to do. A lot of leaks. There's a reservoir that is permanently leaking. And in the meeting that we had, we all agreed that let us move with phase 3 coming. But he has a bigger problem than phase 3. He can actually, the people of Gauteng can have water if we can deal with those things. And we have a project plan that we have developed with them that needs to be funded. We invited people from MEEC. That I think when we walked out of that meeting, we were all worried that it's a source problem. Yes, it's a source problem, but source is secondary. The primary problem is just him dealing with O&M, dealing with the leaks, there's a reservoir. I even went as far as saying But how do we then expect to have water in this particular area when water is leaking like this?
Mr. Chau?
Chair, the obvious, I think we agree. The issue, Chair, is that that municipality does not have any challenge. That municipality is one of the poorest local municipalities in the province and in the country. Aguna income, aguna family, aguna, they try to raise money through about traffic fines. They got this permanent deterrent just for them to be running. They've experienced drought, as much as I can hear that everybody goes crazy about the Western Cape. Hey, there's no water in Cape Town. Hey, things are bad in Cape Town. That community for 3 years did not have water. For 3 years, there's no water in that community. And I agree, Chair, that the department may go to this extent. But local government, sitting with those billions and billions of rands that are unspent, you know, maybe, D.D. Martin, what we must do via you, Chair, is maybe to get local government again in that space and look at how that department can assist that local government. The leaks are there. The infrastructure is a very old infrastructure. Very, very old infrastructure. The reservoir you're talking about, a very old thing. It was built something in before 1948, in fact. There's been a war there. During the Anglo-Boer War, the Australians were camped there. That's why that town was formed. They were camped there, the Australians were there. And then when they left that community there, that comes from where it was today. So are people who came there by accident. In fact, they're not supposed to stay. But I think, Chair, let's invite the local government to help together with the department. Even your war on leaks will not help there. That reservoir needs a new reservoir, not those patches and the artisans to move into that space. So I think, Chair, without really being very harsh on the department always, let's invite local government and request them to work, even if we have to write to them, to request them to work with the department to resolve the problem of water.
I heard you talking about MIG being brought into the equation. That would be my understanding of local government participation in the whole process.
Yes, Chair. In the last meeting that we had when we were working on the action plan, we realized that some of the activities are supposed to be funded by MIG, and then we invited them. Why I'm raising my hand is that I would really appreciate if the committee can bring the MIG colleagues closer, because we were saying to them, colleagues, this is a disaster, this is a crisis, and we can't be seen to be applying the same MIG principles when we need money just to go and fix that thing. And they were telling us there are conditions, we are spending money on grants, there are conditions that we have to meet with a business plan. And I think in a nutshell, when I walked out of that meeting, I was clear that our colleagues from me will need somebody to push them to realize that we need to put that money, because the way we are saying it, it will take about another 2-3 years, and yet we had spent, because we sent engineers, we know exactly what. It's a question of buying pumps or closing this thing, but now they are saying, no, they must put a business plan, and this year is gone, it's the other year. So if we can get that kind of assistance to push it.
Okay. Mr. Chauke is very passionate. Clearly, he speaks for his constituency. That is his constituency, Mrs. Manana. And there is no crime. And there is no crime for you to speak for your constituency.
I'm not going to speak on behalf of my constituency. I'll speak for the whole country sometimes. Because if I can speak on behalf of my constituency, Steenbok and Mkobot, they are buying water. They don't have water at all, which is in Komahanda, Nkoma's municipality. But I'm not defying what he has already, Mr. Chauke, has raised. So I'm just...
Wait,
You definitely
have the right to hoi. All of us have the right to hoi on issues that are affecting our own constituencies. We have the right. Nobody will speak on behalf of your constituency. Okay. I think the issues are straightforward. Thanks for that update, DG and Mrs. Martin. It's work in progress, obviously. We take the issue you are raising about a need to bring our local government colleagues closest in pursuit of the same project that we are keen on. At the end, you are saying if that infrastructure, that that reservoir, if you were to fix that like yesterday, there could be water there in Ohio. Yeah, those shall be details. Mr. Mguno, the same issue?
Yeah, Chairperson. Similar issue. It's true what she's saying. Yeah, it's just that we have to formalize it. That it's minuted there. That we have these places that she has called Bomkobotsi, Bostian, anything, where the total in Pisigas, somewhere there. I will say the real name. Where there's totally no water, they're buying water. If you remember, when we did speak about these dams, there's a big dam in Trikopis. It's a Trikopis dam. It's next door. You remember? That we I don't know how we can formulate that. We asked maybe through Nkomati catchment. That they come in there, and then you understand? That dam is operated by another port. I don't know what kind of port is that one, to assist in the distribution of water to those places. I think it's true they are buying water. It's just that no one was talking about it that all the time. Now I think it's the time that she has come. She has put that in. Thank you very much.
No, that's fine. Let's agree on the following way forward insofar as the matters are concerned. Let us agree that we are now dealing with Gauteng. Definitely there are issues of concern which must be formally submitted. In a report form, the department will definitely receive those reports and accordingly assist us in addressing the concerns raised. DG, Deputy Minister?
Chair, I wanted to raise one issue. The DDG matter is talking about, it's not only at that level, Katlehong, where we have Gauteng, where we have these kind of problems, the old infrastructure. But I know, Chair, that we might not have a right maybe to invite Minister Van Rooyen, because they I don't know whether they account to you, but I think the problem that we are faced with as this department are the challenges that are at the level of local government. So I think the issue of you calling, getting this report also inform the Minister of Local Government, that their role, what is their role? Because my worry is only now that we were able to call them because of the drought in the Western Cape, but there's a lot of money that the municipalities are not using. I was told at some stage it's close to 10 billion that the money which is not used by municipalities. So I think it's something that we need to make a follow-up, because our role is to reestablish bulk water supply, but the maintenance of those reticulation is for local government. Whether at some stage we take all the reports where there's we have a problem with municipalities, and then invite also the Minister of local government, just to inform him that there are these problems. But definitely, what you are saying, Chair, we will bring the report as you are telling us. Thank you so much.
All what this tells us, simply put, is that we need to have a joint session with COCTA on a variety of areas of intervention expected of us, both COCTA and ourselves, and then find that partnership. In the meantime, let us welcome those reports that are very specific in our respective constituencies for the department to begin a process of looking at them. By the time we get into that joint session with COCTA, already there shall have been some work done from a Department of Water and Sanitation point of view. We're fine with that. So it means we are not entertaining the issues for now, save for that written report that must come from our respective areas. Mr. Mguni also has some issues, and also Mrs. Manana has also some issues. Oh yeah, Mrs. Chok.
I mean, I don't bring the issues of my constituency, because the normal practice that I don't agree with Comrade Chauke here all the time. Now, these matters are done in this fashion. Issues are same Mpumalanga. We just come from Mpumalanga now. It's a report of the committee, and that report covers that constituency. We have to make a recommendation there around the findings, right? And the point that Comrade Nguni is making is that here is a dam here. It does not fit into that community adjacent to the dam. That report will have to come with clear recommendations. The matter we are dealing with is a matter of the headache. It has been with us for the last a year and a half now, right? Now, this matter, what we must now do moving forward is that the department has given us a report, progress report on what is happening. But the only stumbling block is that the department, the local government, is not on board.
Yes.
What we need to do is got nothing to do with the joint meeting. It got to do with us scheduling this thing in the next meeting and invite COCTA to come and explain themselves why they're not helping the department to resolve this issue. This is what must happen, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Okay. That's how we are. Chair, we can put words, you know, whether it's joint or otherwise, but the fact of the matter is that we're going to be together in one meeting. We can speak English thereafter.
Well,
members, members, let's tackle number five, if any quick one. We're almost done because... TJ, quickly.
Thank you. With regard to the progress on the Advocate Motau's report, he did submit a preliminary report to the minister, and in his report, I think previously his report that he said for him to make a conclusive recommendation, there's a need for a forensic. We have since involved the National Treasury in terms of the procurement of the forensic investigator. At the beginning, we thought it would be, since they've already had access to the matter, they will also do the forensic, hence the need to involve the National Treasury. So where we're looking at the procurement of the forensic investigator to take the report forward, or to process the report.
I guess this is another case where we are to speak in parables. We don't have the report. We are literally getting almost everything at the tail end. You want to be intelligently engaging with the matters. If you can get copies of such, you must also guide us on the sensitivities of that report and how you want us to deal with it. Well, at the end of the day, it is us who must determine on the way forward with regards to such. If that is going to warrant us having to go on a closed session because of the nature of the report itself, those are the details. Any comments, members? It's a straightforward one that requires us to get copies for us to be able to intelligently engage with the report itself. And then we take it from there. Okay, so can we then go past that? You want us to dispense off with the number two?
Number two is issues on Sedibeng Regional Sewer. Can I invite DDG Infrastructure to talk to it, not to present it? It's on the first slide.
The program is broken down into three. There is the Mayor team, which is part of the scheme. There is the Sibukeng, and there is the... It's page 10, 11, and 12 of the presentation. I think page 9 just covers basically the Sedibeng scheme, the background, and the dispute that we have experienced, that I think we have presented to the committee on several occasions. At Mayerton, as we reported last year, there was a strike, but they have since gone back to work, and the outstanding amount that the contractor had claimed to the department for standing time, that has been settled, which is 2.8 million. Progress to date is that the mechanical works, civil works, is due to be completed in March 2018, and mechanical work is due for completion in August 2018. And then Sibukeng is also one of those that was affected. That was affected seriously by community unrest. No further incidents have been reported since the last update. The progress to date is at 92% completion, and then the road dean is at 52% completion. We envisaging to finish road dean around September this year. And then there is then the Sedibeng scheme, which was supposed to be the phase two of the Sedibeng scheme, which was supposed to be phase three. That has since been not canned, but looking at the fact that the department as well as the other spheres of government did not have enough money that we're looking at that stage. It was around... It was around 8 billion or so that we had to look into. We then decided to say there was then a study that was then we embarked on, where we realized that perhaps we can delay the Sedibeng phase 3 and look at rehabilitation of Lukele and Risprate. And that has been tabled, that recommendation has been tabled to the political steering committee with the Gauteng Department of Human Settlement, as well as the municipalities around there. That is still waiting for our political principals to approve, but I do think that it is the preferred option as we speak. We will not be proceeding to Citibank phase three. But as of now, we haven't heard of any community unrest. We are informed that the project is continuing as planned.
Okay, members, there is a response where there's a political unrest. The department moved very swiftly. They put in place processes to resolve. I think the community is happy. Where there is no unrest like Gidling, people will be waiting for the next 20 years or 30 years for them to strike, to help them. I'm sure I'm I think the DG is smiling already now when I start this process. Look, as long as the service delivered, I think that's the point, that there's a solution to a problem. And that solution, the community is on board. I see that. Is this the one, what's called the DDJ, where the task team led by Mr. Aviva, is that the one? Or I may have jumped, the chair just showed me where we are. But nonetheless, it's fine, we'll deal with the issue. The question was asked earlier, who is Mr. Aviva? Is that Mr. Aviva or Aviva? Yeah, who are you? Huh? Because you can see his green is white here, huh? Solomon. Is what?
Yes, a specialist on community development and participation.
A specialist?
Yes.
What position is this person? And in your structure, where is this person, the department? I'm sorry, I'm jumping for the chair. Wake up, I want to
leave. Chair, in terms of position, I will ask HR.
But the chair, we asked you earlier, you said you don't know this person. Now you want to talk about this person because he's on record now here. DG, don't speak on this thing. Let's hear you. You're on record. And we're going to charge you if you are misleading Parliament.
I've actually, as a matter of interest, I got the info that you wanted on who's in the ministry. I've received that information, and he's currently employed as at the level of a DDG in the ministry, in one of those additional posts.
So what is his role?
Community development.
Community development. DDG, community, at the level of DDG. Community development. Now we're asking.
Jay, he's employed against the level or at the level of a DDG, which is level 15.
Okay.
I think it's this issue of Mr. Aviva is taking us back to the organogram. Mm-hmm. I will go back to Honorable Kate. That we have to wait since this organogram is misleading us. Because with my understanding of this organogram in front of me, it shows that there was only one additional. Here it comes, I think there will be another Chauke in this document who is an additional. There is still going to come additional DDG in this document. Since now this is the first additional that came out now. So now, to me, it's two additional DDGs that they are not approved. So let's wait for another one so that in future we get another organogram so that we can focus on that one.
I'm handing over now to you. As I hand over to you. No, you're right. No, you're right. The point, you've made the point. The point that one of Manana was making is that here comes now another DDG. We have asked them earlier what organogram and the composition is in the office of the minister. And we asked specifically about this Aviva, who is this Aviva person. No one gave us clarity there. Now Aviva is now
at the level of the DG. Aviva sits in the meeting of the DGs. Aviva's responsibility is community development. No, I thought you said it sits in the present parliament, then. Okay,
yep.
So Aviva the community development. Is that an officer or DDG? At the level, yeah, but from the office of the minister now.
Mm-hmm.
And the report to the minister, right? Does not report to anyone. The report to the minister. Give us that list of the information that you said we have. So they were saying that our embassy, that community there, they don't fight anymore. The strikes are coming. There was a department that was called as manager. Okay, give us the information, Chair, hand over to you.
But we did ask about this question earlier on. And you responded by saying he is not at DDG level, Aviva. You did. Madia?
Yes, it's on record.
And the response was that he is not at DDG level.
Yes, that was the response.
Ne? Anyway, any further issues on the Citibank Regional? Can we now be able to get development taking place in that area? That is the key area, or rather issue, that has been stopping any development. Can we now talk about such developments in that area? I know for a fact that there has not been any housing development. Paul has been struggling as MEC for human settlement in Gauteng. Other industries have not been taking place, development, so to speak. Industrial developments have not been taking place. Can we now safely, with all those being equal, be talking about developments in the area?
I don't know if you've looked at page 12. It actually tells us what they've done so far. There's a sentence that says Gauteng Department of Human Settlement has made available 100 million to the scheme for water conservation demand management. It looks like there is a progress, Chair, if you read page 12 of this.
Okay. No, thanks for that, Deputy Minister. Any further issues, members, comments or questions? We find we'll be okay. Satisfied? Thank you.
What is currently being done is to make sure that at least we survive until the new scheme comes. There is a scheme that is planned that we are currently discussing with the Department of Local Government, the Office of the Premier, which is the Lion Park. That is the one that they are talking about that is needed to unlock all that development in the western part of Gauteng, and we are trying to get funding for that.
Have you sorted all the disputes in this project with the GIB and this other one, what do you call it, SSS or SSG, something to that effect? Have you sorted all of those disputes? Can you give us, even if it's a written reply, if you can give us a written reply about the resolution of those disputes and how far have you gone and how far is that process?
Okay. There was also an issue about which is not here, about Overberg. It's not here, but I can only identify it with the presence of Mr. Tillis. Let me just start off by commenting that the name of Ntaviseng, I can't remember his name all the time. What's his name? Funda Kube. Kube. Since she has been there at Overberg, this committee has never received any budget for approval, nor have we received any annual report. So clearly there, you have an entity that has been operating illegally. Yes, the proof that we received is making progress in some direction. You know, 2015, 2016 has since been submitted, rather. We are going the route of having to seek for a legal opinion on this specific one. Of course, there are other nuances involved in this whole matter. The former CEO who was on secondment is now back in the department. We shall have to follow that one up as well. And again, that is also linked to the qualification issue. All right? Whether she has any right to hold the department at ransom, earning at DDG level. I repeat, it's not personal. It must never be reduced to that point. All what we do, we want to have a department that is effective, is efficient, and functional. You have now a confirmed CEO who must preside over... We didn't do na baba konje, ne? Yeah, everything there by now. You don't have any board. So you don't. Now you have an entity like that expected to function. He is confirmed as a CEO, but we have this process that we took as a discussion some time ago about this very entity that you are about. So I just thought, let me just bring that background. Then you can come in, sir.
No, I was inviting Mr. Tillis to talk on the progress.
No. Wait. No. There is only one meeting here. Thank you. Mr. Tillis, you are called upon.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a brief overview. I officially assumed duty on the 1st of August, even though the appointment was made earlier than that. I think up to now we have concluded the 2015-16 audit and the audit of the financial statement. Unfortunately, it was a very bad one. It was a disclaimer, which also led to the delay of completion to 2016-17 that we are currently finalizing the financial statement. I mean, the issues there is mainly limitation of scope, evidence, and so on and so forth. But we are working on that one. We have already completed the corporate plan, which will, I understand is going to be tabled soon. So the only thing that is really for tabling, which is outstanding currently, is the 2016-17
annual report, of which, based on the meeting we had at Auditor General in January, I think it should be done March April, so that the next annual report is on time. That's the target that we are working on. But of course, it comes with the pain, and I think we are prepared to do that. And on the operational side, we would like to grow over Big Water. We are in negotiations with the Department of Public Works to take over the wastewater works treatments, and also would like to get more local authorities. These are kind of negotiations we're currently with, in summary. Thank you.
Okay. You see, Mr. Pelezi, once you make statements, you know, to these members of parliament, you've got to be very thorough and careful, because they will take you to task on some of those statements. One of the statements you are making is that you're appointed in August, though you were appointed earlier. Did you say that?
Yes, I did say that. I can qualify. What does it mean?
That's exactly the point I'm raising. All what I'm saying is that we may take you to task on that one. And for you to be able to say, what do you mean by that? Just to round up your story.
Okay, thank you very much. I think the secondment was made for July, but because I had other things, I was concluding the annual report at Over Big Water, so there was an agreement between the Minister and the Board for permanent location at Overbeck from the 1st of August. That's what I meant. I was on secondment. Yes.
Chairperson, when I last checked...
So sorry, you are permanent now.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask, Chairperson. Are you permanent or are you acting? Because last time I checked, it was looking like an acting. Maybe it was my oversight. Is it still acting or is it permanent?
Well, I have been appointed. I think what is forthcoming is the letter that I have not yet received, but the confirmation has been made.
You haven't received the letter?
Is it paper?
Are you saying you haven't received the letter of appointment?
Can anyone from the department say so? Because,
Chair, I think it's a process in the sense that the confirmation was made in December, I think around the 14 or so in December, and then I'm told that the letter is coming. It's forthcoming.
Short answer is you haven't received. You haven't received. There's no qualification. You don't have a letter.
He is still acting, Chairperson.
You want to comment, DG?
Chair, if I can clarify the issue, the appointment of the chief executive goes to the cabinet. And when the cabinet then issue a statement of communication that the appointment has been made, then from that time up to now, then we wait for the minutes of the cabinet, although it has been issued in the statement, because in the communication it is issued. Then when we received the minutes, then the minister signs the letter. So currently we are processing the letter. In principle, he has been appointed, but until the letter is issued, then it becomes the official.
Okay, Ms. Chogan.
You said you are currently processing the letter.
Yes.
You're processing it from where to where? From cabinet letter.
From cabinet minutes.
Well, you... Chair, sorry. Sorry, now. No, Chair. The point is simple. I'm just trying to understand. If the Chair raised a very serious issue here. Here is an entity of a department, which is a overbank. For 3 years, there's no accountability. This is what they raised, and I don't know why we have to meet it tonight. And you come to Parliament, and Parliament club has, no, it's nice, you process in the letter, then go back. That's wonderful. It's been a wonderful oversight. There's something wrong with it. Someone will have to account for the activities of the bank. Now, you were there in the last, 2 weeks? How long have you been there? Since 3 months suspended?
Yes.
You've been in that space?
Yes.
DG, can you check? Can I invite you just to speak with authority what's happening in that over there? Three consecutive years, there's no reporting. There's no accountability. Monies are being spent, and correctly he says that the 2015-16 report, what was the finding, AG? What does disclaimer mean?
It's a disclaimer.
What does it mean?
Well, it means our records cannot be wholeheartedly...
There's no information.
Yes.
Yes, it means that all the monies that get appropriated to that particular entity, or whatever they did, not only monies, are on accountability. And it can be normal that from the committee point of view, it becomes something that we celebrate. And then say that we are waiting for this. The issue is a letter that comes from cabinet, and then we are processing the letter from cabinet. You have someone there who's told that they are now appointed permanent. He thinks that's the committee on record. And the chair says, you must be sure what you are saying to the committee. And the fact is that you are not formally appointed. Now, you may want to get a proper report on it. Either we just have to agree that the department will have to take, or the legal opinion that will come, or the chair designated other processes, which I agree with, to look at what other actions can be taken in the absence of the board giving. There's no board, there's nothing that is working there. Fruitless, wasteful experience. People are just losing that entity left and right. It's a fact. In fact, when you arrive at the same level, it's clear that there's nothing that is happening there. There's not only being put in there. So let's get the legal opinion chair for now, and then let's take a position as a committee and make a recommendation. You can't allow this to carry on for too long, as much as there's so much work that we are doing there. But just your opening statement, a disclaimer. And it's going to be normal that come the next financial we do the same, or we're now doing statements for 2016, 2017, that's going to be normal. Tell them, no action, nothing. And that is public money that you are dealing with. I'm not blaming you for anything. You are seconded there. As much as you want to take your responsibility, I think as you take that responsibility, back in your mind, you must just realize that we are dealing with public money. The chaos that you see here is informed by lack of that leadership that you expected that leadership to have. They had to go and call Ugeni. That Ugeni that is called to take over. So I'm saying that, get that legal opinion, and then in the next meeting of the committee, let's have a position on that. And then take a position and make a recommendation from Parliament. That's my proposal.
Simple question. Who is supposed to be taking full responsibility of the non-accountability over a three-year period? Deputy Minister?
My understanding, Chair, DG is supposed to be taking full responsibility of what is happening in Overbank. So I think I would like to say, DG must tell us what is happening in Overbank.
The question here says, there has been an entity that has been operating illegally.
that there has not been any approval of any budget by Parliament, that there has not been any annual report passed by Parliament. So on those grounds, you operate an entity illegally, or the department allows an entity to operate illegally under its watch. Therefore, somebody has to take full responsibility of having allowed illegal operations of an entity like Overberg Water. That's the reason why also we're taking a route of having to seek for a legal opinion on this matter. It's quite a serious issue, I must say. Here we're dealing with tax monies, public finances. Appropriated elsewhere on an assumption that everything is right. That's an assumption. TG?
No, I fully agree. We'll need to provide a formal report in terms of the happenings at Overberg and provide factual information. At the moment, from where I'm sitting, I don't think I can really provide.
I'm not looking for a report. I'm only looking for a simple response to a simple question. Who takes full responsibility of the wrongdoings that have been taking place at Overberg?
I can answer, Chair. The accounting officer of the Department of Water and Sanitation takes the responsibility for administration of the department and its entities. So therefore, the person who's accountable to this committee is no one else but the Director General of the Department of Water and Sanitation.
Okay, that's fine. Let us allow that process of us having to engage with our legal people here, and then see as to how best we take it. I guess two other important areas. One relates to the fact that the entities are now due for their annual reports. I think in the next week or two, you would have been expecting some of those to come before Parliament to report. Whether or not the status of Overberg does put it in that category. The second issue, Mr. Chauke was talking about, again, part of your resolutions of the problems of, you know, drought in Cape Town or Western Cape. We do follow in your presentations or other submissions in the last week about your interventions towards resolving the problems of drought here. We do follow the trend. The trend talks more about desalination plants consistently, 90% if you like. Now, as far as we are concerned, none of the water boards have any capacity to provide such. It's a technology that you outsource for all intents and purposes. Why are we not involving and capacitating a local water board here instead of having to bring a water board all the way from Durban? Moreover, here you are talking about only their role having to be an implementing agent, if you like, a project manager? Why must we have to bring an entity, a water board, all the way from Durban to perform such a job that easily can equally be done by another water board here? Translated into capacity building for such a water board here.
The answer lies in your earlier sessions on the legality and the capacity of the Overberg Waterberg. As you recall, that last year the board was terminated. The board was terminated. The CE, as rightfully say, is not yet gone through the cabinet processes. So this was more of an emergency part, like in intervention. So we couldn't have processed through the Overberg with all those challenges in terms of capacity in the and authority in terms of taking responsibility. We are working on making sure that that water board stand on its feet with the appointment, with now the confirmation of the CE, then to bring in the board, the CFO, and all those kind of key personnel in the board. So at the moment there are more on capacity issues in the water board, and making sure that administratively it functions before any major projects we can sort of look at.
Thanks. Any further comments, questions? From where I'm seated, Mr. Mkize, I'm not satisfied with that response. You don't have a board that looks after those kinds of projects. It's only your administration. In the process, you appoint the board. It's the administration that does the job on a day-to-day basis, not a water board. That's my understanding of how things work. You have an executive that is there. You have a CFO or acting such. But we have those basic executive, unless I'm not informed. Mr. Chonge?
No, Chair, I think let's agree with your earlier proposal that get the legal opinion. Let's look at the law. What does the law say with regard to non-availability of the board? At what point does the department intervene? The kind of intervention, the responsibility of the water board, vis-a-vis the issue of the board itself. And I think let's get the legal opinion. But I think that it must go to an extent, Chair, that either the department takes over the entity and run it from head office until such time that, I don't know what is the issue there, that's what I'm saying, that let's get the legal opinion, and then maybe because it's an agent matter, Chair, you may want to schedule this thing for the next meeting. You know, in the next portfolio committee meeting, just go through that was fall. But I see failure, I mean, of and contradicting statement. The official there says that no, there's a problem, we are processing the letter. The DG says something different, you know, that the matter is still being had to be considered by cabinet. You know, these are two separate inputs that they are getting from the two people from this person. So let's get that, and then let's have our position. What is important here is what does Parliament say? And Parliament will only speak on the basis of a proper legal opinion, having looked at the law, and then so that whatever recommendations that we make, it's informed by the role of Parliament, and very clear within the law. So I think let's put it for the next meeting. By that time, I think DG Naya will then go and source more information
especially on the point that you're making, Chair, that there's an executive there that deals with the day-to-day running of the entity. The accountability side and oversight, political oversight, is a board that does not exist. What do you do? You know, so these are things that I would definitely want us to further engage on them. If we're to prioritize it as something that we can deal with in the next board meeting, in the next portfolio committee meeting, I'll be happy if we do that, Chair. You know, so that when they come back to us, it's not just a matter of having to deal with that one individual there. But this is a plan of the department. In the absence of the accounting authority, which is the board, we have decided to do the following. In black and white, Chair, this is the following, that clear time frame. By this point, we'll have the board in place. Therefore, issues of accountability and mismanagement of administrative methods, starting with your financial controls and all those things, I will take it that if the report of the AG, and in fact, we may want even to invite the AG just to give us the figures of what is happening in that particular space. Then, Chair, we can have a position that all of us understand. We have to put the department into terms to say the following. It has to be informed by something, Chair. So I'm proposing that let's have the matter for next week. If the committee is going to sit next week, I think there are one or two things is happening in this one and other issues that we still want to process, Chair. But let's have it as a priority. Because I think the board deals with the Western Cape too, eh? Is it far from the Western Cape? It does not deal with the issues here.
It's the Western Cape.
I'm saying that it deals with that, and there are emergencies around here. That's why there's no leadership on issues. You know, that's why there's no leadership, Chair. So let's prioritize it. Let it come next week. Let's find a way and then resolve it.
You can describe the whole system and let it be the department that runs the whole thing. Tell it before. So that all of us know at the end of the day that these are the people who are going to be accounting on behalf of that particular region.
We are in a crisis. How many? We are expected before that shall take us through to your one-third of our members being present, warm bodies, in a meeting. If you are less than four, we cannot continue with a meeting. Okay, I guess we are also, that also gives us a sign that says we might just not be able to conclude on all of the issues. Because we are left with two, which is 8 and 9. An approach that says, let us take that legal opinion. We take an interest in Umgeni Overberg, rather. Coming before Parliament on its annual report as to how we deal with that one, because it's a matter that is supposed to take place in the next 2 weeks or so. And secondly, we also take an interest in empowering a local entity. Given all these challenges, you are expected to guide us. Instead of bringing Umgeni, you can safely say also even about Umgeni. Umgeni has got an interim board. It's not as if you have a fully fledged board. It's got an acting CEO as well. So there's nothing special about the two. With the same capacity, I would imagine, because they don't have the technology. Theirs is about literally project managing. Here is the technology, here is what we call this thing, desalination plants and so on and so forth. If at all it goes that direction, which is another debate we might wish to enter into with time. Okay, we're taking the route, I repeat, of a legal opinion from Parliament, hopefully before the time the board shall be expected to come before us.
and then see how far we go with that legal opinion. I take it that should be fine, members? I'm tempted to suggest that those two, 8 and 9, we reschedule them for a later when we next meet, if that is fine. Are we okay with that? On that note, then, members, Deputy Minister, DG, Madia, and your team, our meeting has come to a point where we are now adjourning. We are expected to meet next week on Wednesday, if all things are equal, given the challenges we are going through as a country. Our work must always continue. It's there in the Constitution, holding the executive accountable. If there's no executive, I don't know what we do. Meetings adjourned.